A New York Times report is shedding new light on public defenders who are overworked and underfunded. Its reporting finds some public defenders in Louisiana, for instance, were assigned 200, 300, or even 400 felony cases each, way over the recommended amount to devote enough time for an effective defense. Today, GLT checks in with McLean County's top public defender and prosecutor about caseloads here. Public defender Carla Barnes tells GLT's Ryan Denham her 14 in-house public defenders, 5 contract attorneys, and support staff make it work, but it's not easy.
You know, we're driven by helping people. No matter what you do, no matter what the arrest is for, from traffic on up to Class M's homicide cases, everyone deserves good legal representation. You deserve to have someone stand next to you and advocate on your behalf, make sure the process is fair, due process is met. And, you know, when I'm interviewing attorneys and even staff, I try to make sure I'm asking the right questions to make sure they're driven to do public defense work. You know, why are you here? Why are you interested in this job? Because it's very, very difficult, and it can be extremely draining at times. And if you're not in it for the right reasons, being driven by helping people, then you probably won't be here very long, and I want long-term employees. It's, you know, we're here to help people, and we help a lot of people in this process.
For someone like you, I'm kind of curious, like when you're watching the news at night or reading the paper or what have you, and you're seeing high-profile criminal cases in the news. You hear of somebody getting arrested for something salacious, and it's like, oh, I can't believe it. They did that. Most people, that's how they react. What do you think about when you see these kind of high-profile things in the news and people, right, presumption of guilt or innocence?
And a lot of those high-profile cases, you're dealing with people that are broken. That's the first thing that I think. You know, what got them there? And that's even assuming, you know, that I'm not assuming they're guilty or anything, but, you know, there is a background. There's a larger background and a larger force that gets people involved in the criminal justice system, and we all realize that.
In McLean County here for the Public Defender's Office, what is your current caseload? How many cases do you have at any given time?
We are right. All of my felony attorneys, both in-house and contract attorneys, are at about 90 felony cases per year. The ABA guidelines is 150 felony cases per year, the recommendation. But when I say 90, of course, I'm happy that my attorneys aren't all each handling over 100 cases. But a whole lot of work goes into those 90 cases. I mean, there are the collateral consequences that we have to think about. We're dealing with DNA issues and new technology with forensic evidence. So there's a whole lot that plays into those numbers, and I'm always cognizant and aware and talking to my attorneys to make sure they have enough time and resources so that they can be effective to our clients, because we owe that to them. But they are. They get a lot of legal training. The county board has been generous with the with my budget as far as training the attorneys is concerned. There haven't been any major cuts there. So we are maintaining those numbers. And if it weren't for the contract attorneys covering the overflow and other major felony caseloads, it would really affect our ability to represent our citizens in McLean County.
What percentage, roughly, of defendants who come through the courthouse here are you know, deemed indigent and actually using the public defender's office?
I think we get about 85% to 90%. I'd say about 85% of the cases that are filed in by the state's attorney's office. So we get quite a bit.
What types of cases do not qualify someone for a public defender? Civil cases, divorce, and stuff
right,
like that?
Right, of course. Civil, divorce, child support, we don't handle those here in McLean County. Ordinance violations, we don't handle those as well.
So the storyline across the country is this notion of public defenders' offices being underfunded and overworked. Is that true here?
I would say no, it's not true here. If you look at the national standards, there are some attorneys that have over 150, 170 cases. And thankfully, we don't have that problem here in McLean County. Like I previously said, could it be better? Yes, it could be better. But are we meeting our clients' needs? Yes, we are. I'm 100% confident that the attorneys are meeting the clients' needs. Like I said, the contract attorneys, they deal a lot with the overflow And we have a full staff of paralegal. We have the paralegal. We have the social worker, and they assume a lot of the collateral consequences. So the attorneys don't have to work on other issues like housing, clothing, mental health issues. We have a social worker that tries to meet those needs and match them to their services. So that takes some of the responsibility off of the attorney. So we have a team.
So I was at a conference last week at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and there was a whole panel discussion about this concept of like holistic defense. So this idea of kind of wrapping around a defendant
with the entire person, and meeting all of their needs. If we have a client, let's say a client with mental health issues, as soon as they come in, they're interviewed by a social worker or a paralegal. They're asking the proper questions. Are you on medication? Do you have any medical needs that we can meet? We immediately, if we need to, file the proper motions to have a hearing on fitness issues. Even if it's not a fitness issue, we try to connect them with their proper medication. We alert the jail that these are what their needs are. And then even upon release, we make sure that we can at least try to connect those services when they're released to make sure they have their medication, they have proper clothing, they have place to go to. Because a lot of times we're hooking them up with Home Sweet Home Mission, the Salvation Army, to make sure that their needs are met.
What strikes me about the way you put that is actually sitting down across from somebody and actually asking them about their life and what they have and don't have. You're probably one of the only people that do that for a lot of people. The prosecutors and the judges are not sitting down for an hour to talk about their backstory, you know?
No. We are the people that we're the only people in the courthouse that would be in a position to help them in that way.
The Public Defender's Office in McLean County has a few murder cases on your plate as well, very large cases that I'm sure are more complex than your average case, one of them being the Brittany Mikesell felony murder case. That's the woman accused of being involved with a fatal stabbing at a trailer park in South Bloomington. What are the unique kind of demands on staff time on those larger murder cases?
You have to make sure that you maintain contact with the client weekly because it's a serious case and they're facing life in prison, so they deserve to have some face time with someone from the office on a weekly basis. So on the murder cases or all of the Class X felonies or people that are facing potential life sentences, we make sure that we have some face time with them once a week. All of their questions are answered so that the process can run a little bit more smoothly. I mean, there are bumps along the way. There are issues that come up, but we try to cut them off at the head.
So the folks on your staff who are handling felony cases, if they're all, you know, maxing out around 90, so you're short of 100, how do you ensure that work-life balance stuff does not get out of hand? How do you... I mean, 90 cases is a lot. You still could do a 14-hour workday every day. How do you manage people like that?
Yeah, we talk about it quite a bit. We have felony meetings, and we talk to the attorneys. We talk to the attorneys in the associate division about, you know, are you okay? Are you taking care of yourself and your needs? Because you can't be here 14 hours a day, and it doesn't take a toll on you. So there's constant conversation. We deal with it. It's a tough job. It really is a tough job. It's not the easiest job in the courthouse. But again, we're driven by helping people. We understand that as public defenders that it's going to take a huge amount of your time.
Yeah, it looks like your budget right now is around like $1.9 million thereabouts. And you said you're happy with current caseloads. I mean, you're not out of hand yet is kind of where you're at.
I'm not out of hand. Of course, I wish things were better. I wish that we were down to 70 cases for a year, you know, of course, I mean, but it is what it is, and we understand that, and are we terribly overworked and overloaded? I'd say we're not quite there yet. I see other jurisdictions where attorneys have a vast amount of cases, and I don't know how they do it, because, you know, at any given time, most of our attorneys in the felony division have one or they're on two murder cases. And that requires a lot of time. And then on top of that, you have all of the other cases that you have, your drug cases, your domestic violence cases. And, you know, all of those cases require time and attention as well. I wish that the numbers were down, but I'm glad they're not terribly high.
Yeah.
So we're right where we can maintain. And I have confidence that if the numbers were to get out of control, that I could go to the county board and I could ask for resources to hire another attorney or to hire another contract attorney, because I'm fiscally responsible. They know I care about the citizens of McLean County, and I'm confident that those needs would be met if the time came.
The state's attorney's office offers deferred prosecution for certain minor offenses with the primary goal of reducing recidivism and reducing courtroom time as sort of an added benefit. The state's attorney's office plans to reassess that program to more clearly define which offenses would qualify. Now, how effective do you feel deferred prosecution has been in reducing recidivism and caseloads, and should it be expanded?
Well, yeah, hopefully they'll expand it to some lower level felony to divert some of the unlawful possessions out of the criminal justice system, give them some education, part of the diversion program. Hopefully they will expand it, if anything. I'm sure they're not going to cut it out completely. I'm sure if he's looking at anything, it's for an expansion.
What are some specific types of things that are not included in that bundle already that maybe could be?
Right now, I don't believe any felonies are a part of that bundle. Mm-hmm. So if he could open it up to Class 4 felonies, that would probably help a lot of students that have possession of, like, an Adderall pill, possession of a Xanax, because, right, that's a Class 4 felony. Mm-hmm. And first offenders, you know, we usually try to make sure the state offers them first offender probation, but yet it's still a felony.
Well, that's McLean County Public Defender Carla Barnes with GLT's Ryan Denham. McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp says there's no specific amount of time that a victim can expect justice, as criminal cases vary widely based on the amount of evidence attorneys must review. Knapp tells GLT's Eric Stock, while defense attorneys are usually the ones responsible for cases getting delayed, staffing issues in either office or on the bench can also slow the speed in which some cases are tried.
Sure, the courts play a part in that. The prosecution plays a part in that. And believe it or not, we all try to work together to get cases through as quickly as we can. I think Chief Judge Costigan's been exactly accurate and well-spoken on the fact that no defendant that has demanded a jury trial or a bench trial has had to sit and wait for a judge to be assigned, even though they've been short. So they'll pull a judge off to hear those cases, and some other judge will take their docket for the couple days or couple weeks that it takes.
And higher profile cases for more serious offenses naturally take more time because of the gravity, the complexity of the case. But some, as you alluded to, do drag on for years before they're even brought to trial. Kirk Zimmerman, one notable example here, nearly 4 years after his wife was shot to death, Zimmerman was scheduled to stand trial. Why do you think it needs to be that long?
Well, to talk about any individual cases is both likely prohibited by Supreme Court rule and bad form. So in the abstract, why do some cases pend? It's, like I say, there are just volumes of information and data that need to be gone through by both sides, the defense and the prosecution, and it just takes time. I mean, like I say, one case, 4 terabytes of data, it just takes a significant amount of time.
How often have you heard from victims and their families who might be upset at the speed at which some cases are going, because obviously they want justice and they want closure?
So I've been in the job for 6 months now, almost exactly 6 months, and I can count on certainly one hand and maybe 2 or 3 fingers the number of times that I've heard from victims directly that want either an update or things to progress a little quicker. It does happen. I'm sure that hopefully that's a testament to our victim witness people that keep in contact with victims and the ASAs that know victims are a focus of what we do here every day. But it does happen that victims want things to move a little bit quicker, and we can you know, each and every case, hopefully we can sit down and explain why the status of the case is where the status of the case is. And it's been pretty good, really. I mean, most victims are pretty understanding.
As we continue on Sound Ideas with McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp, is there anything that could be done to accelerate the speed of these cases? Or does that simply point to a staffing issue?
No, I think there are efforts. You know, the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, when it was formed, of course, one of the main charges and main goals was to reduce the jail population so we no longer spent $750,000 a year housing people out of county. And we're getting amazingly better at that. Once we started the jail project and once we've got that under control, they have pivoted a little bit to talk about case times. And to the point of looking at which judges ran which dockets, not by name, they assign an individual identifier, and Dr. Beck has processed a lot of data to try and help us along those lines. Dr. Beck at Illinois State University has done yeoman's work in providing the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council data about case processing time. We still have a focus toward keeping the jail population reasonable, but they are looking at and have looked at for at least a year now, maybe a little bit longer, case processing time. But remember, during that time, the judiciary was also not working at full staff as they were staffed by the Illinois Supreme Court. So we're just now, within the last month or so, just now up to full staffing with the judiciary.
So any idea what that might look like then to improve that case processing time?
You know, the number of statuses that are granted before a final pretrial is ordered, and each case is going to be different. I mean, it's problematic to have a hard and fast rule that, as a judge, I'm only going to give every defendant or on each case 3 statuses or 5 statuses, because truly, and that's why I don't think we have significant complaints from victims, is because if you're doing the right thing on every case, both the prosecutor, the defense, and the judge, we can explain why things are where they're at on every case. And that doesn't mean we can't do better. We can always do better and always try and make justice a little bit swifter. But I don't see a hard and fast rule that comes out of the analysis from Dr. Beck, but I do think it keeps it it's like keeping track of the number of putts and lowering your handicap, right? It's always in the back of your mind, and so if it's ever present every day when we're in court, that helps move things along.
If we can dive into some of the numbers, first in staffing, how many prosecutors do you have handling cases?
So felony, we've got 13 felony prosecutors and 3 misdemeanor prosecutors. In 2017, we filed 1,397 felony cases. In 2018, 1,330 felony cases. 2017, 1,501 misdemeanors. 2018, 1,513 misdemeanors. So approximately a little more than 100 felony cases per prosecutor. And almost exactly 500 misdemeanor cases for prosecutor in the misdemeanor courts.
Is that reasonable for
Yes.
them to be able to handle?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely reasonable. And would we love more resources? Sure, but I think as we look around and I talk to our prosecutors, that is reasonable. You know, a lot of people point to this 150 felony and 400 misdemeanor figure for defense attorneys that came out of the National Advisory Commission on Criminal Justice Standards and Goals back in 1973. And people have to remember that that was a task force started in 1968 by the Department of Justice, and that's the sole, from what I can tell, that's the sole figure attached to workloads, reasonable workloads in the industry, and that's closing in on 50 years old, right?
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp. Have you had to run the risk of any convictions being appealed because a defendant can say, and they often do when they lose, that their attorney wasn't fully prepared, possibly because they didn't give the case the time, the attention that it needs?
Sure. We see complaints of ineffective assistance of counsel, and by and large, those complaints are found to be meritless. You know, Carlos folks are professionals, and they're good at what they do, and they test us, and they should test us. I think you're right, Eric, when you said it's not apples to apples. We've got some different duties. You know, it's the caseload for an assistant state's attorney isn't just the average of 100 cases they have to go into court on a year. There are search warrants in the middle of the night by the hundreds through this office, screening decisions to be made, police reports to be reviewed, and on the flip side, Carlos folks have jobs that we don't have. Our client technically is the people of the state of Illinois. You know, while we do meet with police departments and hear what type of evidence they have, we don't go meet with a specific client. We do meet with victims. Carlos folks are meeting with their defendants weekly, sometimes daily.
One form of judicial expedience is the plea bargain.
Sure.
How many cases that go through the state's attorney's office here end up in a plea bargain?
Well, I don't have the exact number for here. I know the number nationally is only 3% of the cases filed go to trial. So if you've seen, you know, in 2005, the Bureau of Justice Statistics came out with prosecutors in state courts, and that had that 3% number, and I suspect that is pretty accurate. So
for McLean County, too?
I suspect it is, Eric. I haven't pulled those numbers, but I would guess that just the national averages hold that about 3% of the cases that we file actually go to trial.
Is that concerning at all? Or is that just a product of necessity?
I don't know that it's either concerning or a product of necessity. Every defendant, you know, can exercise their right to a jury trial if they so choose. And again, the courts have been very good, especially Chief Judge Costigan has made it, Chief of the Criminal Division has made it a point to have a judge available anytime a defendant wants a bench or jury trial. So that stat and that process just is what it is. You know, some people hate plea bargains. Some people love plea bargains. Could we do more trials? Sure. Could we do less trials? Sure. It's just the strength of each individual case. It really is case specific. I mean, some of those 3% cases that go to trial are confession cases where the defendants confess to it, and they're going to trial just because they literally have no other choice, because they're likely to serve a long prison sentence, maybe life. And so it's, you know, it's not just the borderline cases go to trial. There's a million different reasons why some cases go to trial. And I understand on the flip side of that, there's a million different reasons why some cases plead as well.
That's McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp with GLT's Eric Stock. Knapp says the county offers deferred prosecution for various nonviolent crimes as well, including retail theft and minor criminal damage to property. He says he plans to meet with attorneys, judges, and law enforcement soon to more clearly define which defendants should be eligible for deferred prosecution. While reducing the court case load has its pluses, he says the main goal is to reduce recidivism. Knapp leads a staff of 47 full-time employees, including 26 attorneys, plus paralegals and other support staff.